Hello, friend, and welcome to the podcast of Canaan Christian Center, featuring the dynamic ministry of Apostle Craig Banks and Pastor Cheryl Banks. Set your heart to hear a life-changing and empowering word from God. If you dare say amen. And find verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Everybody say, nevertheless. That's what we want to talk to you about today. Nevertheless. 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 Of course, we know this is when Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I know some of you might be thinking, "Well, I thought we was talking about breaking the grip of poverty." We are. And this, nevertheless, is actually a part of the fear of the Lord. Amen. Because if you don't walk in the fear of the Lord, this, nevertheless, you will never come to. Amen. But it requires us walking in the fear of the Lord. That's why the Spirit of God has really been pretty extensive on instructing us about walking in the fear of the Lord. Anybody ask the Lord to teach them the fear of the Lord? I mean, you're serious about it. Amen. Has it been doing something to your life? Yeah, it will. It will actually start pulling the slack out of your life. Amen. And you'll begin to realize what we thought was okay, God called it slack. Amen. But in the garden, Jesus came to this. And let me make clear something. Coming to the garden occurred right after the Last Supper, as we call it. But if you've ever experienced the supper that they actually had, it's not like we would do, sit down, you know, slap something on a plate, hurry up and eat it, burp, and then go do what you got to do, burp again, you know, and dinner's over with. It was pretty extensive, and there was a lot of eating. There was a lot going on. And so when they get to the garden, we find that the disciples, they couldn't keep up. They sleep. Well, you know how it is when you overeat or you have a real good meal. Amen. See, we thought it was just bread and it was a bowl sitting there and he just sopped it and sopped it. They sopped the bread in there and ate, you know, and that was it. No, it was more extensive than that. Pastor Cheryl and I had the privilege of going to one of those meals. And it was like, my God, I didn't know they did all this. It makes you appreciate the value of the scripture and history. But after they finished, they come to this garden, a place that they had been several times before. So it was not an unfamiliar place. That's why Judas knew where Jesus was and knew where he was going, because they'd been there before. But the big issue is the word nevertheless. You're going to come to a place in your life, if you haven't come already, where the Spirit of God is going to ask you, where is your spirit of nevertheless? Where is your attitude of nevertheless? Because if we're going to walk with God, you're going to have to come to terms with certain things and draw an actual line in the sand and say, this is where it all happens. Amen. So the reverential fear of the Lord will bring you to the place of, hear me now, the fear of the Lord will bring you to the place of and then cause you to take a position of nevertheless. So nevertheless is a place and it's a position that you take. It's a place and a position or a stance that you take. Amen. And this nevertheless, the position of nevertheless is this. As Jesus said, very simple but very profound. Not my will, but your will be done. But here's what I found about nevertheless. It has two sides. Not walking in the reverential fear of the Lord will bring you to the place and the position of nevertheless, but it's this. Not your will, but my will be done. Yeah. Because see, we've all heard it and have said it probably 1,000 times to ourselves and probably to somebody else about nevertheless. Oh, but you got to come to the nevertheless. And when you come to the nevertheless, oh, things are about to happen. Yeah, they are. But you got to find out which side of nevertheless are you on. Because if it is your will, if you find yourself caving in, and not doing what you know the will of God is, you're on the other side of nevertheless. Because you're saying by your actions, forget your will. Or I put it this way, both are on the table, God's will and your will. But your will is outweighing his. And you go with the one that has the most weight. The word nevertheless means this. More readily, it means preferably, it means with more reason or justification. It also means on the contrary. And then it means most certainly, you know, like the Three Stooges, certainly. But this is a definition that I like. It's an emphatic affirmative reply. Very emphatic. So when Jesus said, nevertheless, it's not this religious nevertheless. Very emphatic. The two wills are on the table. But your will, because of reason and understanding of who you are and what you want to accomplish and the fear of the Lord that I'm walking in because of you, my will has to submit itself to yours. Nevertheless, so it's a very affirmative, a very emphatic reply. Yes to your will. Do you see where the fear of the Lord, why it's so important? So look at this. We're never going to say, nevertheless, unless we understand and have come to a conclusive resolve. This is every one of us, to a conclusive resolve that I am on a mission from God. This was Jesus' attitude. If you go back and study his life, remember the time that he was at the well of Samaria and his disciples went into town to get some food. They came back after he had the dealings with the woman at the well. And she took off and went and told everybody, come meet a man. But when they got back with the food, they said, Lord, have you eaten? Because he looks content. They said, Lord, have you eaten? They see he's had some water. And have you eaten? He said, my meat, my sustenance, my survival is to do the will of the Lord, the will of my Father. That's why I exist. I'm on a mission. And until we come to the place where we are on a mission, we understand that I am here because of mission. Amen. I'm on a mission. If you hadn't resolved that in your heart that I'm in this earth, I'm on a mission from God, then you will waste a lot of the time that you have in this earth. Are y'all here? Yes, we'll waste time. And all of us know that once you waste time, you can't get that back. If you've goofed off for the first 6 months of the year, you can't get that back. Now, God can help you by his spirit to make up some time in the sense of from this point on, you begin to do double. But you can't go back and get January 3rd. Of this year. It's gone. Tell your neighbor it's gone. Now tell that same neighbor to stop wasting time. That's something the Lord told me sometime back. And there was a commercial on TV, you know, stop wasting my time. Dun, 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 dun. And the Lord spoke that to me in prayer. He said, stop wasting my time. And I'm like, Lord, you know, that sound like that commercial. He said, I ain't talking about no commercial. He said, stop wasting my time. And I was like, Lord, I'm not wasting your time. He said, the time that you have, that's my time. He said, and I'm telling you, you're wasting it. So that means you got to go before the Lord and begin to, remember the other night, those of you that were here Wednesday night, I told you one of the things you need to begin to ask the Lord is, show me my present level of deception. because it shows me where, it'll help you to see where you're goofing off. Well, you know, I go to church and, you know, I even go to both of those Sunday morning services. And bodily presence does not mean that I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. That does not mean that I've come to a resolve that in the face of my will and God's will, I go with his. Because when ain't nothing happening or coming at you, it's easy to say, oh, yes, the Lord's will be done. I'm going to show you something about the Lord's will and why we struggle. Amen. At the beginning of this series that we began talking about exposing poverty and breaking the grip of poverty and the things that the Spirit of God has revealed to us, for us to break the grip or the mindsets that poverty has established, one being understanding the law of environment, and then we got to understand the fear of the Lord, the righteousness of God. We got to understand integrity, and then we got to understand what God means by covenant partnership. When we understand these things, these four things are established in us, then what begins to happen is that the people of God will start learning to walk free. And then you can free some other folks from what poverty has done. But we got to come to the place of this resolve that nevertheless, your will. Now, when the Lord spoke all this to me, he told me, he said, son, I need you to begin to fight for the poor. And so I thought, you know, you're going to go stand up on a platform, you know, a political platform and say, God wants everybody free from poverty. And he said, no, the way you fight for the poor is to teach the poor, teach those that's in the grip of poverty. Take my word and find out what I've said about it and then show them that freedom has already been given to them. Breaking mindset. That's where it starts at. So you're being empowered. So you can go and empower somebody else. And it begins to domino from that. But the Lord told me in this, he said, I'm going to show you the strategy of the enemy against my people. And then I'm going to give you my strategy to overcome everything that he's throwing up. And that's what God is doing. That's what he's doing. He's unveiling things. This is the strategy of the enemy. This is how the enemy has operated. And what has happened with many saints is that we've been fighting symptoms and never getting to the root cause of a thing. Because if you don't know what the root cause is, you will fight a symptom. Amen. You got the sniffles and you bought up a whole bunch of tissue so you can catch it every time it gets to the door of your nostril. But that is not the root of the problem. I'm going to lay down. That's not the root of the problem. I'm going to rest and sleep. That's not the root of the problem. Amen. So y'all ready to get into the root of the problem that keeps us from coming to God's nevertheless? Now, look at this. There is an environment that brings out nevertheless. You know what that environment is? It's called the environment of pressure. Pressure. You're in Matthew. Let's go back and read the rest of this. Everybody say pressure. Because see, that's what people are buckling. I'm just tired. I can't handle it. You can't handle pressure. That's what it is. Those who can't handle pressure, and all of us have a capacity for pain. We got a capacity for pressure. And when you max out, that's it. I don't care what nobody say, mama, daddy, grandmama, even the Lord himself. When you max out in your capacity, you're through with whatever it is. Come on now. Some of us, some people, we deal with stuff. We should have been past it. But we still dealing with it. And somebody saying, oh, you don't need to do it. Don't put up with that. Somebody tell somebody else saying, if I was you, this and that. And if I was you, this and that. And you've even told somebody that if I was you and such, come on now. And we do ourselves like this. Like, I just don't get it. I don't know why she, I don't know why he, and I don't know why they. The reason is they have not maxed out in their capacity. They ain't had enough. Everybody got a capacity level. Tell your other neighbor, say, you got a capacity level for everything. And see, what God wants to do is stretch that capacity level. Amen. So the environment is going to bring out, nevertheless, it's pressure. Pressure will reveal the resolve that you have. Pressure will reveal the resolve that you presently have. Pressure is going to reveal it. So a lot of times, I'm just tired. I'm getting everybody in the church. I know, look over there, that group on that second row, they some prayer warriors. I want every one of y'all, I want y'all to meet me at the service because I want you to be praying for me. We're going to bind the devil loose here, all that kind of stuff. And then the pressure don't go nowhere. Anybody ever discovered that? The more I pray, the look like the worse the devil getting. What you see, you're trying to pray away a symptom and not deal with the root cause. Pressure will reveal your resolve. All right, let's go back to this. We just saw Jesus. They done left the dinner. They gone to the garden. He got all 12 of them with him. Well, 11. 11 of his disciples. Earlier in Matthew, he called them apostles. Here he says disciples. They still apostles, but they're disciples. So that means they're learning. Look at your neighbor and say, you're still a disciple. So you're still learning. And so here's something they didn't know. They done come to the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the place of the olive press. And this is where they pressed the olives. They didn't press it with their hand. They had a huge or a heavy rock or boulder that rolled over it and crushed the olive. And the first release of the crushed olive was the purest oil. It was used, the first oil was used for the anointing. And then it went through another press. Same olive getting pressed again. I done been through something once. And here it comes again. Because there's more oil in that olive. Then it goes through a third press. I didn't know nothing was left. Just kill me. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Anybody? Yeah, it's like, when will it end? When, God, when? And then the thing comes back around and does another press. The last press forces out the pits. And in the pits, there is oil. So all the pity stuff you find yourself going through, God says, I want the oil out of that too. So they come to the place of the press. If there's a press, there's pressure. Because you can't get nothing out of anything without applying pressure. If they want to draw blood from you at the doctor's office, they must apply pressure with the needle against your skin to enter your vein. Pressure is at different levels. So they come to the place of the press. Look at verse 38. Well, 37. Jesus began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Distress comes when there's pressure and a lot of it. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, exceedingly, extremely sorrowful. Tremendous pressure is against my soul, even to the point of death. And then he says to them, stay here and watch with me. Stay here and watch with me. Now, wait a minute. They come to the garden, to the place of the press. He tells the 11, stay here. Then he takes three of them. That leaves eight. Take three of them further with him. Then when he gets to the other place, he says, stay here. He tells them how he's feeling and stay here with me. This is tremendous pressure. Stay here and watch with me. Watch and pray. And then he goes a little further and falls on his face and he prays this prayer. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, emphatic, affirmative, response to my will versus your will. My will, because I walk in the fear of the Lord, has to take a back seat to your will. I lock myself into your will under pressure. Verse 40, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. This is the first three. He says to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. This word temptation, you know what it actually means? To be found in a place of pressure and succumb to the pressure. If you don't watch and pray, it will not be God's will happening in your life. You'll be like, because of the pressure, you'll be like, nevertheless, not your will, but my will be done in my life. And the only one that can fulfill that is you. So you have to walk off from God and go play God to bring to pass your will. That's too much for you sanctified folks. He said, watch and pray. The whole atmosphere was one of pressure. You ever knew you should be praying and look like sleep? Not regular sleep, but something that's absolutely overwhelming. Just, you can't even get your mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can't even get your mouth open. I know. On the inside, it's like, pray, pray. I'm trying. Lord, help us all, Lord. Just help us all. Whatever you can do. Yeah, just whatever you can do, Jesus. What's now? If you're taking notes, write this down. It's at this place of pressure is where the devil brings you another opinion. It's at the place of pressure that the enemy brings you another opinion, give you something else to think about, like he did Eve. Did God really say? Is that what he meant? Now she's open to a second opinion when you already got God's opinion. God's will is what he wants. Verse 42, and he says, well, he says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it. Your will be done. Wait a minute. He prayed that three times. Three times he prayed the same thing. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Pressure is going to come at you. I'm fast forwarding because this is the strategy of the enemy, to bring tremendous pressure against you in whatever way, shape, form, and fashion he can implement it or bring it at you. One of the ways he does it is first he goes and study you, studies your patterns. Every weakness has a pattern. Every weakness has a pattern. Every strength has a pattern. There's folks like, hey, how you get to be like this? Follow the pattern. We see people who are walking in the blessing of the Lord. Go follow the pattern. Ooh, they said they gave. There's something that happened before they gave. There's a pattern. We want an act to extract what God has when God said, no, it's a pattern, a lifestyle. So the enemy comes and study your lifestyle. You like this at church, but you like this when you're away from church. Not Monday, same day. You like this. I'm in church for an hour, 2, 3 hours. But after that, there's 21 more hours in that day. Amen. He studies. We clock their pattern. All they got to do is upload it in the computer, and then the computer will come back and say, this is the pattern. Every so many hours, this is what they do. Then he applies pressure to force you, to try to get you to go in that pattern further. And then he brings more pressure from other. Anybody ever had several things that start happening in your life? And it's like, wait a minute now, you're trying to deal with this, and you look around, it's something else, and you look around, it's something else, and all of it is increasing, and you just feel like you're being dumped on. Everything's falling in on you, and you just, it's like, I'm trying to figure out a way. I ain't trying to fix this. I'm just trying to get out. Well, y'all here. I just want out. I'm looking for a doorway out. You know, the Bible said God said that he'll provide a way of it. Say, where is it, Lord? I ain't looking for him. I'm looking for the way out. So what's needed to have the correct nevertheless? I'm glad you asked. Go over to Joshua chapter 9, because the Bible reveals to us very plainly what you're going to need to have the correct nevertheless like Jesus had. Because you're going to have to come to that place where you have an emphatic, affirmative reply to God's will. Yes, Lord. We hear it said many times, God just wants a yes out of you. Well, that yes is not just a three-letter word. That means you are saying no to your will and yes to his will, and not just saying it with empty words, but it pulls all of you into doing the will of God and trusting him. Everything is done by faith. You got to understand that, because if you're going to do the will of God, you can't go by your emotions. Your emotions will have you on a roller coaster. Amen. Joshua 1, you got it? Now, God tells Joshua, he has to tell him, say, Moses is dead. Y'all stop crying over Moses, grieving over Moses. Moses is gone. Moses did what I wanted him to do, and he's out of here. But I, God, am still alive. Amen. Forever. So he tells Joshua, I need you to take this people over the Jordan, and you are going to portion off the land to them. Now, keep in mind, this is several million people. And they're going to a land that they're just now seeing. God had been promising it to them for the longest. But now they see it, but there are enemies in the land. Joshua is the general, the commander-in-chief, the commanding general of the army. Now God says, you're going to step up into the place that Moses was to lead these people, and I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. But y'all going to have to go in here and dispossess these folks. Wipe them out. Come on, let me tell you something. If your life has been characterized by war, you can become hardened and tired. Every day, you got to kill somebody. Every day, somebody wants you dead. You become hardened in that. When you got to deal with stuff over and over and over again, somewhere you can just become completely desensitized. I'm just going through the motion. That's part of the strategy of the enemy, to wear you out, to harden your heart, to make you just mentally lock up. Amen. So here's what's needed if you're going to have the nevertheless that Jesus had. God told him in verse 9. We'll look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. There it is, two words, strength and courage. Strength and courage. Come on, say it with me. Strength and courage. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. That word be means continual. Be being strong. Keep being strong and keep being courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Uh-oh. When you are afraid, or when you don't walk in the fear of the Lord, you'll become afraid and dismayed. But if you're going to have the nevertheless that Jesus had when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, if we're going to have that nevertheless, we must be strong and courageous. Everybody say strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. He told Joshua to be strong and courageous in leading, be strong and courageous in obeying, be strong and courageous in serving, be strong and courageous in meditating the word of God. There's a key. You got to be strong and courageous in meditating what the word of God said. Meditate. You got to meditate the will of God. God's word is his will. When you meditate the will of God, then you begin to see that it outweighs, even in reason, amen, even in justification, his word, his will outweighs what you've been thinking. Did you know that's what repent is about? It's where you are and what you've been doing. Now the word of God is brought on the scene. And in light of the word of God and what you've been doing and what the word of God, his will provides and offers you, has given to you, you step back and look at that. Look at, compare them, and you make a decision. I'm going with this one. To do that, you got to turn from it. Repent. Same process. This must be too much for y'all. So afraid. God told Joshua, he said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Afraid means to don't be harassed and terrified and don't break. Dismayed means to be prostrate, to break down, either by violence or confusion and fear. So here's what this is the strategy of the enemy. God is letting you know. The enemy will come at you and present an image. Don't you let him break you down. And he's going to try to break you down either by violence or by confusion and fear. The enemy will try to intimidate you. Anybody has somebody try to intimidate you? Look at, oh, Lord, you just saw them beat up your cousin. They beat him unmercifully. And then they looked at you and said, I'm going to get you. Now, your cousin is twice your size. If you're afraid and dismayed, you won't go to school for the next 3 weeks. Amen. So here's the strategy of the enemy. Oh, Lord. The strategy of the enemy is to seduce. Everybody hear the word seduce? He always comes with seduction. The strategy of the enemy is to seduce the people of God or anybody into the grips of poverty. Then he oppresses them with overwhelming pressure until they break. And when they break, they then become his loyal subjects to poverty. And then you see and hear the effects of their breaking. They become a proponent of poverty. They learn how to just manage and how to make it in poverty. They stop looking for anything more. It's just the way it is. In their heart, they long for more. But they grew up at number 27 Hollingsworth Court, the project. And their children live there or don't stay too far. And the grandchildren come up in it. There's been no change because you became a loyal subject because of the pressure. Remember, the disciple said, lead us not into temptation. Jesus told them, the disciples, he said, watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. Stay alert. You got to stay alert. You have to make yourself stay alert. Stay alert. Anybody ever been driving for a while on the interstate? And the longer you drove, your eyes are open, but everything else is off. Well, a lot of people have lost their lives like that. A lot of people have had wrecks. I mean, it's like, what happened? I don't know. I was woke. The disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus told them, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Then he says, lead us not into temptation. Temptation means test, to be scrutinized, to put to the proof, to assay. Wait a minute, because the enemy's coming to do just that, to test. Anybody ever made a bold confession about the things of God and then you found out, looked like all hell came at you? And it's like, shoot, I ain't going to do that no more. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. Go to Acts. Because see, be quite honest, we like to, we spend more time playing church. And we like the look of warfare. We like the sound of it. We use the right words, hallelujah, and all this kind of stuff. Now, I want you to see another example of pressure in the scripture. There's a whole bunch of them, but we don't have time to get into all that. Go to Acts chapter 20. Did I tell you 20? Look at verse 17. This is Apostle Paul. Now, he's coming to a place in his ministry that, you know, he founded the church in Ephesus. And Ephesus, this was a group that I think over in chapter 19 or somewhere, where this group, when they gave their lives to the Lord, all these folks were getting saved in Ephesus. All they ever worshiped, all they ever knew was demons. They worshiped the goddess Diana and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of history to that. But they got saved. They gave their life to Christ Jesus. They got saved. Here they are, Gentiles, receiving the Messiah. Because the Bible says salvation is of the Jews. All they ever known, they hated the Jews. But their salvation for eternal life is coming through the Jews. So they received Jesus, and these are the ones that piled up all their books of magical arts, piled them up in the middle of Main Street, Town Square, and burned them. In other words, we sever our ties to all that we've ever known, and we go with Jesus Christ. Now we become public enemy number one, and they didn't care. That was nevertheless. Sometimes we stick around because we're trying to play on this side and then play on that side. It just depends on how the wind is blowing. Look like everybody's over here. You know, we step up. You know, you can't say nothing to me because you go to church with me. You can't say nothing because you were cussing like me. You can't say nothing because you walked out the store with some stuff that you didn't pay for just like me. We was at the same checkout. You know that stuff that was on the bottom of your cart? Ain't nobody said. So Paul calls, hurry up. Verse 17. He calls these folks together because he wants to say something to them. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord." The first thing they ever saw about him was he was a servant. With all humility, he walked in humility. You got to have this if you're going to have this nevertheless. With many tears and trials which happened to me. Wait a minute. Tears and trials. Pressure brings tears. Trials are full of pressure. That's why they call trials. You are being tried in every way possible. He's saying to them, "I've been under so much pressure for so long, so many times, from so many different directions, it brought tears to my eyes." By the plotting of the Jews. Wait a minute. These are the folks he's trying to touch. Your own people. The devil's been able to use folks that's close to you. Bringing pressure. You ever had some kin folks that you wanted to do something to? Because they did something that they had no... Here's my point. The pressure drew tears. Verse 20. In the pressure, he said, "I kept back nothing that was helpful." Because when you're under a lot of pressure, "Hey, I ain't got time to be fooling with you. I'm just trying to keep my nose above the water. I'm still trying to kill alligators." "I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem." Wait a minute. He's got to go to some more pressure. But look who took him. "I'm bound in the Spirit." Notice that's not a capital S on Spirit. When I said nevertheless, it bound up my spirit, soul, and body to be in alignment with the will of God. Y'all, that's too much for y'all. He said, "I'm bound to walk through the will of God." Not knowing the things that will happen to me there. See, we want to know everything. The Lord tell me, you know, how come I'm doing that right there? Would you want me to do it? Okay, that's all right, because they're going to bless me. What if he tell you to go do such and such, and they talk about you? Well, Lord, they Dude, I must have missed God. How come every time pressure comes, I miss God? He said, not knowing the things that will happen to me. Something is going to happen to me because I've gone to other places. Every time Paul showed up in town, everywhere he went, two things happened. It was either a revival or a riot. See, we're geared for comfort. The Lord told me this morning, he said, son, the problem with the church likes to negotiate deals with me that give them the comfort that they desire. And we decide whether or not we're going to do this. No, your will from your reasoning and justification is bigger than the will of God. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city saying that chains and tribulation await me. What would you do if you knew everywhere you went? Chains, that means thrown in jail. And there ain't no nice police officers. They put the dog on you. And if by chance there is a civil rights case, and in the court they say they violated his civil rights. How did they violate his civil rights? Look at his arms. Look at his back, his legs. These are dog marks. And then they will say, Your Honor, he tried to run after we arrested him. Lying. Well, you know, reasonably speaking, no, that's about what happened. The dog will get you. That's what the dog is for. So they throw that out. Injustice. Would you keep going? Preachers. Look here, God called me to preach. I just want to preach. Go preach. Go where the Lord tell you. Go to the prison. I don't go there. Last time I went, they just looking at me like I'm crazy. You want something else. You're in negotiation with the will of God for something that's comfortable and spectacular and gives you what you want. You're not after the will of God. You're on the other, nevertheless. Look at your neighbor and say, nevertheless. Y'all said that kind of dry. Like, nevertheless. Oh, I meant to shake you up. Come on back here because I got to go. Look at verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God testifies in every city he go to, chains and tribulation are waiting on you. He ain't even got there yet. They didn't come into being after he got there. They already knew he was coming. So the devil has already gone ahead of Paul. I can't stop him from preaching the gospel because he said, nevertheless. But I'm going to make it hard for him to try to apply so much pressure that at some point he'll quit. I can't take no more of this. Because the devil's after you, nevertheless. The best way is to get you to never make a nevertheless. Look at verse 24. But none of these things move, not moved, move, present tense. Because all that has happened to you, every day you're going to have to refresh your nevertheless. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. There it is. Because when I count my life dear to myself, No, sir. Lord, I love you, but no. None of these things. So you can't let these things move you. You can't let the pressure move you. Move you. I told you, nevertheless, was a place and a position. You cannot let the pressure move you from your position. Because once you move, you feel condemned. Oh, Lord. None of these things, I don't let this stuff move me, and I don't count my life dear to myself for this reason, that I may finish my course, that I might bring to a successful conclusion the assignment that God has given me. I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. And his ministry was to testify to the gospel of the grace of the Lord, the grace of God. So Jesus entrusted him with ministry. Guess what he did with you? He has entrusted you with ministry. You can't do it if you love your life. What caused us to love our life? I can't handle pressure. Anybody that can't handle pressure, they're always looking for somebody else to fight for them. That means if you look for somebody else to fight for you, your prayer life is short. You got a couple of huckabuzz and shananas and a hiki boshai thrown in the middle. Among people that don't want to fight either, you got a whole congregation of shananas, hiki boshais, and that's as far as y'all go. So if everybody said at the same time, you don't get much prayer done. That's over within 10 seconds. So you say hickey, it's 1,500 of y'all. So everybody start out with their hickey boshai and shana na. And then the next one pick up, and it sounds like prayer is going on for a long time. And nobody can check you because they ain't nowhere. Learn how to get with folks that know how to pray. And start praying, listening to them pray, and begin to pray. I promise you, your prayer life will get stretched. You'll feel like something popped in you. And all it was the cork that was on the bottle. Amen. Because he entrusted Paul with this. Okay? Jesus. God entrusted him with salvation. The moment arrived, it came. Am I going to do this or not? What caused Jesus to say, nevertheless, he already walked in the fear of God? Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, joy set before him? It always said, oh, he saw us. That was part of the equation. But the weightier part was he loved God. And so he did the will of God. The will of God was the joy. We were God's will. See, if we don't fall in love with the will of God because we have fallen in love with him, you won't last. And the enemy knows all I got to do is apply pressure, just apply pressure, just apply pressure, just apply pressure. Every one of you can throw your hand up and say, this week has been one of those Booger Bear weeks. Amen. Can I see the hand? Yeah. It's been something. And the pressure came to get you to say stuff that you had promised you wasn't going to say. This is too much for the sanctified folks at that church at 7890 Middle Warren Road. It's the strategy of the enemy. He's after one word called nevertheless. I want you to holler out and say, I will not, buckle, fold, cave in, throw in the towel. I will hold on to my nevertheless. Not my will. But the will of the Lord be done in my life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God. Woo-wee. We trust that you were blessed by this dynamic word. Visit us online at ccctr.com. And allow Christ to reproduce his heart in you, the heart of the ideal servant.